This is All In. I'm Miriam Sobe. Today, we're talking about what it's like to be a minority business owner, and we're going to hear from two business owners about their personal experiences, obstacles, and successes. And if you have any questions or comments for our show today, you can let us know on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. With us now, we have Kathy Cabello, President and CEO of Cabello Associates, and Rupal Thanawala is the Managing Director of Trident Systems. Welcome to both of you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Kathy, I want to start with you. If you can sort of give us a little bit of a background on how you decided to become an entrepreneur and get into the field that you're in right now.
Sure. So I didn't always wake up and dream of becoming an entrepreneur. In fact, I was in corporate America. I started my career as a computer engineer and worked in corporate America and really was enjoying it. But what happened was there was an opportunity to either move and transfer or stay in Indianapolis and start a business. And that's really how it all kind of collided. Sometimes when you meet a fork in the road, you make a decision, and that's really what happened. I was also in graduate school at the time, and I was already kind of thinking, wow, running a business would be fun and starting it, and that's just how it happened.
So it sounds like it was kind of fate.
Yeah, I guess you could say that, yes. Like I said, and now I love it. I mean, I can't even imagine being in corporate America now.
And Rupal, what about you? I mean, how was your journey to becoming an entrepreneur, having your own business?
So for me, everyone in my business have a business in India where I grew up, my dad, my cousins, everybody. So I wanted to, of course, always have a business. So right after my engineering degree, I started my own business. I was 6 months pregnant and I started my business there. However, again, you know, as Kathy said, you know, your fate is, you know, takes you somewhere else. So I came to US, but then I came here on a work visa. So I could not start a business initially as an immigrant. So I went in corporate America. So slightly different than what Kathy did. So yes, I went to IT. But then once I got all that cleared, I started my own business of IT consulting.
Mm-hmm. Now, so both of you have started businesses, but it's not always such an easy path to become a business owner, to go down that road, and especially for minority business owners. And so, Kathy, I want to ask, what was your experience like in trying to navigate that field? Did you feel like you had enough information to be able to start your business?
I don't think I had enough information, but I think I had determination. And so, you know, what you don't know, you don't know. And that's kind of where I look at it. I look at it now and I thought, wow, that was pretty gutsy. But, you know, you start out, you know, you have an idea and you just go for it. And, you know, now I think about it, we had two young children and my partner was my husband and we decided to go out on our own. So you think about it now, two young children, now you have to have your own insurance. You know, there was no insurance and you think, wow, let's just do this. And we did. And I don't think I knew all of the pitfalls. I think I knew enough of what I should be doing. And that it did help my education and being in grad school. One of our directors was a serial entrepreneur, as I called him. And he, you know, he was just always encouraged us to do this, do that. So I think I had a good foundation, but I don't think I knew everything. And you just kind of learn along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely it sounds like it's one of those growth mindsets where you're just growing and learning, which sounds really exciting. But Rupal, I want to ask you, I mean, you mentioned that when you know, you got into business, it's something your family's always been business people. Did you find it sort of challenging, you know, leaving corporate America and starting your business?
So first of all, yes, it's a changing mindset also, but also you assume a lot of risk, as, you know, Kathy just mentioned, and the challenges now, you own everything, you know, like starting from hiring, getting the funding, making sure that, you know, you have enough customers, because without customers, of course, you can't run a business. So all of those challenges, you say, okay, you know, now I own everything. So that was the one big shift coming from corporate job to coming into the business, and every day morning you wake up and you just, I just say that I'm the one who is managing the mailroom also and sitting next to my CIO and discussing the strategy. So you literally own everything in your business, which is a really a change in mindset. I don't have somebody I can say, you know, hey, you know, you just run with it. Of course, you have your team, but by end of the day, you know, the buck stops at you. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the big change. And similarly, what we just discussed, you know, hey, you know, now it's an insurance on you, you know. And there is a huge uncertainty, you know, that comes with starting your own businesses, particularly in the early stages that, oh, my gosh, what if it doesn't work? So it takes a lot of courage and determination that, no, I'm going to make it work, you know. Mm-hmm. And you trust your people. You build teams that, you know, you can rely on, and you have to provide them growth opportunities. So it just goes from there to then just, you know, making sure that, you know, your customers believe in you. And that's my journey.
Right, right.
And I'd like to add to something, if I could, because I think coming from corporate America, I had a great foundation. I had a lot of training. And yes, there's a lot of knowledge, but the processes and procedures. And that's something that I did bring into my company when we were starting and we were small, but I had that mindset. And I think that was good foundation, good practice for us.
Right. And but Kathy, I do want to know a little bit more about, you know, resources for minority business owners or folks wanting to go into business. You know, are there enough for communities that often don't get enough resources in the long run?
I think they're out there. Sometimes you have to look, but I would say 18 years ago when I was starting my business to now, I think it's come a long way, and technology has helped so that you have it more at your fingertips. But I think the biggest thing, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, that's really, you know, where I went. They have many more resources and tools now available for, you know, companies that are SBA, you know, the Small Business Association Administration. I went there and it was in person. So you're looking at things, touching them tactically, but now it's online and they didn't have that. And so now you have all the resources that prior they weren't available. And so I think there are resources. You have to look for it. I mean, it is, there's a little bit of onus on you. It's not going to drop in your lap. So you do have to go look for it. But I think there are. I think the resources are there. You have to find them and then dig through them.
Right, absolutely. And Rubel, when we talk about resources, I think something that comes to mind is mentorships and having a network and connections. How was that like for you when you were starting out? Was that hard to put together?
So I think I had good resources. I'm very grateful to the network that I had built. But those who have not built, I would say, please build very meaningful relationship. And I think that's very critical because when you are an upcoming business owner, you know, you want to just not only just go and ask people for help, but put in your time, effort, and be very strategic about it and think about what you're giving back to them also. So I had few resources, and I also look at a lot of industry-focused groups also. So I'm from technology group. I very specifically provide consulting services in SAP group. So I became part of something called Sapphire, which is a national SAP America's user group. So I started becoming very involved, reading their articles, presenting at their conferences, and meeting people. So focusing my energy with the right set of people was also important. I was not trying to get coffee with anyone and everyone just for networking sake, you know, which sometimes I just find out people sending those LinkedIn invites to everyone. I think that is not strategic. You mm-hmm. have to be very targeted. Be part of organization when you're Indianapolis local. Go to TechPoint, you know, right. And also pay forward because, you know, I believe in reverse mentoring also. I am... in my mid-career, but I also learned so much from those young professionals because they have great ideas. When I'm mentoring them, I'm learning from there. So let's make even mentoring also a two-way street and not just, you know, one way. And that's a great strategic relationship that goes a long way. And I cannot forget my BDPA involvement, the Black Data Professional Association. I became very involved with them, going on a national conferences and meeting people. And I think that helped me a lot with my business.
Right. And Kathy, you know, similar a question for you about the importance of either mentoring or having a mentor. Kind of piggybacking off of what Rupal said about not getting coffee with any and everyone. And I feel like that's the background I come from. It's like, just reach out to anybody and see if you can pick their brain. Is that not a good idea in business?
It isn't a good idea because you can burn your bridges. I mean, people are so busy. You want to make sure that it's intentional and that you're respectful of their time and that you value your own time also. You know, I think you want to pick and choose, and I think that's really important. I think the organizations that you join, I think it is very important to join the right organizations. And I think early on, I did join the been a very great resource for me. Back in the day, our company helped launch what is now the Minority Small Business Series. And back in the day, that's with the Indiana Black Expo, but we helped launch that with the mayor's office, and it was called the Day of Learning. And so, you know, I think you also help support and you help bring people together, and in doing those sorts of things, you'll meet the right people. You really will, and you'll be able to network. And attending those conferences that are for businesses, I think it's really important.
And do you think Indiana is a great place to start a business for first-time business owners?
I do. Yeah. I think it has been very open to new businesses. It's not easy, but I think it's a great place.
Yeah, I think, you know, I would echo what Kathy said. It's a great place. I think starting the business, actually, you can now, I just started another parallel business just 6 months back, and literally you can open a new business in 30 minutes. Of course, that's just one piece of it, establishing your LLC. Of course, there's a lot more than that. Of course, I'm not minimizing the importance of other tasks that goes, but if somebody's asking me, hey, how do you even build, open my LLC? It's a very simple online application. You can do it. I also encourage everyone to be a member of Indiana State Chamber and Indy Chamber, because we can get particularly for me, you know, like getting an insurance for a small company under 10 people. You know, I can get my insurance through a state chamber. So there are other resources that we can tap in if you're a new business owner. And plus, you know, there are lots of loans and other financial support available.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both for joining us. I know Rupal will be back with you later in the show. And we'll be back with some other guests talking about minority-owned businesses in Indiana. And we'll be focusing on education and the skills needed. I'm Miriam Sobel. We'll be back in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Miriam Sobe. We're talking today about education and skills needed for minority business owners to succeed. If you have any questions or comments on the topic, you can find us on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana, or you can leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. With us now, we have Terry Morris, president of National BDPA, or Black Data Processing Associates, and board member at Martin University, and Bill Turner, CEO of Skillful Indiana. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Terry, I'll start with you. We talk about education and skills a lot when it comes to business and being successful, also when it comes to getting more opportunities. What kind of certifications or skills help minority talent enter the business workforce?
You know, thank you for being here again. The short answer is relevant and modern. You know, the tricky part for entrepreneurs is to do both, but companies' needs are in both camps. You have to find a way to represent your ability to carry above your weight, and finding the art of that ability through, you know, taking the right certifications and having the right experiences that put that.
Oh, I think you cut out there that last sentence. You said carrying your weight.
and putting that modern language in your mouth by having had the right experiences.
You know, I hear a lot about certifications. I mean, are there any sort of things that are like really hot right now that people should be focusing on when they're trying to market themselves?
You know, so I'm an IT guy. While in my day job, I play in the racial justice world. Eli Lilly spent 20 years in IT. I'm going to pick tech and say, go to the modern versions of what tech is today and what tech will be tomorrow. So find ways to be on the leading edge of that continuum. If you're in the tech world, cloud and analytics, data science, find some introductory ways to be exposed to that world. And where possible, where you have the interest, go deeper, because you just never know where that interest might connect in with a client's need as well.
Mm-hmm. And Bill, there's always this emphasis on getting proper training for different skills for work. Is there a reason why this is always at the forefront?
Yes, there is. And one thing, just a real quick adjustment. Thanks for the promotion, but I'm the executive director of Skillfluent, so I don't want people to think I'm the CEO. But that's what Skillful and now the Rework America Alliance, what we try to do is to help make that connection. So we focus on skills and competencies, but we also try to help either employers articulate what those skills are. So compared, you know, as Terry mentioned, how do you get that language into your head and how you speak that language? But we have training that helps with helping those employers talk that way and describe their jobs in that way, so that when people look for jobs, whether a student or a job seeker, they can see what skills and competencies they need for that role and where are they missing that particular certification or that type of training that might get them there. And so we work with career coaches and counselors to help train them on how to help those people that are looking for jobs to make that connection. So if it's an IT job you're looking for, you know, what skills do you have that might be beneficial for that type of role? And then what are the certifications? So it's making that connection so that you get the actual training that will help you get to where you want to be.
Right. You know, it's making me think about when I've seen job openings, for example, and they're advertising, you know, what they're looking for and all these skills. But sometimes these skills seem so broad that there's no way someone can possibly have all of those certifications. What's up with that?
You know, I'll take a stab at that. You know, the adage, you know, says, how do you eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time. And I think that's how you should think about the context of meeting needs here. You know, when I talk to potential new partners, I can quickly assess whether they're selling me, mm-hmm. whether it is real or whether it is seeking to answer what they think I may have a need for. The experienced partners can see that, so don't try it. But you know, take the time. To gain the knowledge over time, and that learning agility, whether as an individual contributor and or a business, that ability to continue to learn is the skill that is being sought after. And once that is recognized, you'll find a willing partner on the other end of the table.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Bill, do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I totally agree. And I think that's not only for those folks that may be looking at starting a career or getting out of college, et cetera, but also folks that are already employed, to Terry's point, is how do you continue to learn and increase your skill set over time? So you're not going to be able to do it all at once. It's just how do you make those stair steps and improve if that's what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bill, we were talking earlier just about being minority business owners, and I'm curious to know, you know, Are minority-owned businesses struggling to find people to work for them? Is that also an issue versus not just, you know, minority talent trying to find opportunities, but the other side of it?
From what I've talked to the Indy Black Chamber and as well as the Indiana Chamber. I think businesses in general have that. But then when you look at minority-owned businesses, they may not be as large as, say, you know, the really large employers that are in the city of Indianapolis, et cetera. So having access to that, I remember back when I was a member of the Allison Transmission team as a director of education development, that we struggled. We didn't, as a company at Allison Transmission, you put an ad in the paper and people just ran to your door to sign up. Well, sometimes you take, now that's manufacturing, but sometimes large companies will take the employees that you already have in a minority owned company because maybe the pay is better or the benefits are better, whatever the case is, the opportunity is bigger, don't know. But then that leaves a gap with the minority business. And so I think it's not only people understanding what those minority businesses are, but also the fact that, hey, How do I compete with the big fellas and the big women? I shouldn't say that. That's not the right term to use. But the larger companies that are on the same that do the same work that you do.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, how would you do that? I mean, what are the resources out there to help, I guess, like a minority business succeed in that competitive market?
So from my perspective, and what we do is, again, I go back to we help employers, regardless of the size, to change the way they source out their talent. In other words, how am I asking or looking for jobs? I'm looking for applicants. Am I describing the skills I need? If I need certifications, am I explicit in what that certification is and what is the skill set I think is involved in that? And then that helps all businesses, minority and others. But then the other piece that we do is, when I said earlier, we work with career coaches and counselors. As they work with job seekers or students, we help them understand how to get the student or job seeker to articulate the skills they have, but then match them with that employer job description and say, hey, here's something that fits your skill set. You might want to think about this. If you're going to school, you might think about this career path because all the things you've done in the past seem to lead you down this career path, which might be to a minority business or others. So it's really, there's an awareness piece from the minority business, from the career coach to the job seeker or student. We try to help bridge that gap with the work that we do.
Mm-hmm. So it's like an entire sort of a process from A to Z.
Yes. Yes.
And Terry, you know, when it comes to mentors and networking, I know we talked a little bit about this in our previous segment with our other guests. I'm curious from your end, you know, we also hear about the need for education, but how important are relationships aside from getting the skills and the education that you need?
It is as important. You know, it's one thing to deliver on your existing commitments to a partner, but finding that next is where the art kicks in and where the relationship value rises significantly. And, you know, I was in a forum recently someone on the panel described this notion of where the ability to find that next partner is like finding a diamond in the rough. I mean, but you got to go mining early enough to surface where might there be something valuable. But that entrepreneur is often a sole proprietor. So this may be a gross representation, but they may be the person who cleans the building and delivers the outcome. They have to use their time judiciously. However, their ability to nurture relationships will be directly correlated to their longer term viability.
Mm-hmm. And what about, you know, when we talk about these relationships and developing them and stuff like that? You know, I think something that we've talked about a lot on our show is representation and seeing yourself. And if you don't see yourself enough out there, how do you go about finding those relationships and networking?
You know, it is worth taking the time to mine through platforms like LinkedIn, for an example. There are accelerants in this technology world that we are in to help minimize doesn't it preclude you from doing due diligence, but it at least provides you a short list. But then take the time to seek to understand who are the movers and shakers in these walls. You know, for example, large companies, many of them, if not most of them, have made bold commitments as it relate to diversifying their supplier pool. Well, you need to know who in those walls are helping to pull people through, because there tends to be a person or two or three, a short list of them that are pulling these commitments through. You need to figure out who they are and find a way to influencing those individuals.
Mm-hmm. And Bill, what are your thoughts?
Now, I totally agree that relationship building is key, and that's what we try to do. But I would also add to what Terry just said, I would also add that it's not, you can also think about the folks that are trying to find other people jobs. In other words, like your local workforce development boards, how connected are you with them? Or your local organizations like your Goodwills or your United Ways, et cetera. I understand you may not have the time as a small business owner wearing so many hats, But if you can carve out some time to connect, that makes that connection for what you do to the people that are actually trying to find people employment. And then there's that other piece of connection and relationship building that you can do. So this is an addition to what Terry mentioned, but don't leave out the local people that are actually it could be in your neighborhood or at least close by that could actually connect you with talent.
Well, speaking of some of these organizations like United Way or any of these other ones, you know, often they have folks that network with them or they're on their boards. I'm just really curious, how does someone get on a board of an organization?
Well, I tell you, in this period, you have to hide to not be on a board. and so it really, they aren't hard to find. If you start networking and express your interest in helping, the opportunities will find you. The opportunity for you is to be judicious to ensure that your skills and interests can be translated into the right organizations thoughtfully, not just going after the first one just because it was the first one, because believe me, there will be another right after that one. Find the right one or two that makes sense for your skills in that organization.
Okay, so it should match your skills. You shouldn't be an IT person on the board of, I don't know, a zoo.
And only if the zoo needs an IT person, then that would make sense.
and Bill, anything you can offer listeners who are, you know, they're interested in putting their foot out there and getting involved in a business, but they're just not sure what that first step should be?
I think your earlier segment that you had with RuPaul and Kathy, that was a great example of what to do. It's about getting started. And we've been talking about skills, but it's also the skill set you have of being an entrepreneur and the ability to go out and start your own business. That's not for everyone, obviously. But those that do have that skill set, just, you know, connect with the folks in your state or your local area and learn how you can get that set up. I would, you know, one thing that, because I don't do that myself currently, one thing would be, how do you connect with people who could help mentor you along the way? You know, and it goes back to that networking piece that Terry just mentioned. How do you network, not just for boards, but network in general with people with like mind, like thinking, so then you can, you know, potentially piggyback or learn something from them that helps you move yourself forward.
Right. And Terry, are non-minority business owners, do they have an advantage over other folks when it comes to their education or their access to things?
You know, so this is a space that is not immune from systemic racism. So absolutely, there is an advantage. However, we are in a unique period where there are declared intentions to make progress related to the representation of partners delivering services for companies and municipalities and the like. The city of Indianapolis has declared those intentions as well. So this is a window where progress is available. It's not a foregone conclusion. You need to lean into your organization's possibility, lean into groups like, I'd be a poor president of BDPA not to advocate for folks to consider being a part of a community like this, but there are many others. Consider being a part of communities that can maybe help reduce the barriers by bringing the network to you at certain cycles.
Mm-hmm. And are there any sort of like any things going on now that you know of that are helping to sort of bridge this gap?
There are so many vehicles that are underway to bridge that gap. I think that for each vertical, there is a thing that is being driven by a consortium that is aimed at creating more opportunities in that world. So I think that for the world that you play in, you need to figure out what makes sense for you, because there are plenty of them. I know in the IT world, there are many of convenings that are taking place that are aimed at bringing about more opportunities. Corporations have declared that intention, and they are, in some cases, creating new protege programs to bring minority partners into their worlds, to give them experiences in those worlds, and then hopefully give them opportunity to deliver services for them. So the opportunities are there. You have to decide and prioritize the time to take advantage of those.
Mm-hmm. And Bill, we have about a minute left. Where can people go if they're interested in gaining more specialized skills for their resumes?
Well, that's a good question for me, because either the Skillful Indiana website or the Rework America Alliance website. And the reason I send people there is that we also have developed, in partnership with MC, a Skill My Resume tool builder. So people can plug into it. It's free to those that want to use it. It helps you build your resume based on skills, and it's even written that way. And so all you do is plug in, you know, past experiences, et cetera, and it'll create it for you. So those are the kind of tools that we'd like to provide as a nonprofit that helps people get started on that journey. Now, that's on the employee side. Employers, we have tools for them as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I want to thank you both for taking the time to join us this afternoon. Terry Morris, president of National BDPA, or Black Data Processing Associates, and board member at Martin University. And Bill Turner, executive director of Skillful Indiana. We'll be back after a quick break. We're talking about what resources and opportunities are out there in Indiana for business owners. I'm Miriam Sobe. We'll be back in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Miriam Sobe. Before the break, we spoke about the importance of specialized skills and education when running a business and where to find those learning opportunities. Now, we're going to talk about other statewide resources when it comes to financial support and work opportunities. If you want to get in on the conversation, you can find us on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana, or you can leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. With us now is John Thompson. John is the president of the Board of Indiana Chamber, a board member of the Indiana Economic Development Corporation, and CEO of Thompson Distribution Company. Welcome to the program, John.
Thanks so much. Was muted.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, that's the world of the online stuff where we're getting used to muting and unmuting. John, does Indiana specifically have the resources to help minority businesses grow and thrive?
Well, we're starting to move in that direction. There's been deficiencies to this point. But we've created several sources of capital for small businesses to get started and grow. And we've also created coaching mechanisms and strengthened them. There's more to be done in both those areas, but those are two key critical areas.
Now, I mean, I've heard a little bit from some of the other guests that there's resources, there are things for minority businesses, but how does that help if people don't know that they're around? Like, is there enough being done to let people know that there are these resources out there?
Well, there's certainly more being done to market them. We're creating marketing budgets to actually get the word out, you know, to the entrepreneurial public that these opportunities, these funds, and these coaching and strategic planning and development training opportunities are there. Places where they can get questions answered. Places like the Indy Chamber. If you go to indychamber.com/entrepreneur, you'll see business ownership initiative. You'll see capital sources there where you can borrow up to $50,000, not needing, you know, super stellar credit or anything, but the funds are there. You'll see coaching opportunities there. There's the Indiana State Small Business Development Center. They have a website that is exactly that. You can see where you can get coaching and training and strategic planning opportunities there. And in both cases, these things are free of charge. You don't have to pay for this coaching and training. And then there is an organization called Elevate Ventures that invests the state's dollars. The state has created several funds. One is the 21st Century Investment Fund. We call it the 21 Fund. And then we had gotten federal dollars a number of years ago, the state has, and we have what's called the Angel Fund. And those funds are available across the state to businesses. And in case of the Angel Fund, there is a minority business component to that that does not get fully utilized across the state. And so, and all of that's at elevateventures.com. You can go to that website and you can find all of that. Elevate's also formed joint ventures across the state with various regional organizations to help businesses in general across the state. And again, as I mentioned earlier, a part of the Angel Fund, there is a minority business development fund.
Mm-hmm. Well, when it comes to Indiana, do you feel that the state is minority business friendly?
I think it's moving in that direction. Has it been exceptionally friendly as a state to minority businesses? No, but we're moving more in that direction. There are a number of things that have been done to help and assist with the process. Number one, the state does have a Minority Women Business Certification Office. The state also have a commission set up by the Indiana Civil Rights Commission to help get more state organizations, whether it's a university or a state agency, to procure more from minority and women businesses. They meet quarterly pre-COVID around the state, during COVID virtually. But you can find that at the Indiana Civil Rights Commission. I think the next meeting is June 14th, and anyone can join those meetings. It's helped increase the minority spend from the universities, for example, and it is helping with the state agencies. So that effort is there. There's also an effort for more new business formation. Indiana has lagged in new business formation. We've lagged the country for some time. And there's an effort to improve that in the general small business world, but also with minority and women-owned businesses as well. During the pandemic, the state worked with Indiana Black Expo to get COVID-19 dollars into the hands of minority businesses and to get the coaching and business development skills from the Indiana Small Business Development Center to those firms. I think we need more capacity in the Indiana Small Business Development Center, and we need more sources of funds. And those sources could be CDFIs, Community Development Financial Institutions, that are part of the U.S. Treasury Department. And that's where you can really build to get more dollars into the hands of minority-owned firms. And there's been some capital funds created to do that. So 68 Capital is one funding source. They've raised about $25 million to help fund minority businesses. There are other funding sources that are out there, and those that I've mentioned will certainly help lead you to others.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a lot of different resources and avenues, and I appreciate you sharing that with us. When it comes to, you know, throughout your experience in this realm, what have you seen as like the biggest challenge or obstacle for minority-owned businesses to actually get the help that they need? Like maybe they've started the process, but then it just falls through and they don't go through with it.
Well, you know, there are several. Payment terms are a problem, standard payment terms. Payment terms for minority businesses tend to get paid in about 90 days in many cases, 60 in some. But minority and women-owned businesses get paid slower than other businesses of the same size. And there are different reasons for that. I'll give you one quickly. If you look at a small business in the construction world, so you have a construction manager, they get paid by the owner first, followed by the prime contractors, whether they're electrical, mechanical, HVAC, millwork, whatever, they get paid second. And then lastly are the subcontractors and suppliers. Well, the businesses that need the capital the most are getting paid last. And so that's a big difficulty when you have to meet payroll weekly or at least twice a month. So that's payments are a big challenge. Another challenge is contract size and minimums. You know, oftentimes you're looking for your vendors to be able to supply you with a certain quantity. And if they can't, you don't have the resources to work with companies that small. Well, if you really want to develop these minority and women-owned businesses, you're going to have to break the contracts down in order for those small firms to be able to handle them. Another big deal that's a problem is a prime contractor will use, there's a minority goal in place. Prime contractor will use that minority vendor to meet that goal. Then when they get the contract, they don't buy from that minority vendor. And that's a big problem that needs to be fixed, you know, rather quickly. Mm-hmm. And then other areas are just things like too many certification and pre-qualification requirements. And one of the other speakers spoke about that. I think that's something that really needs to be looked at to make sure to try and streamline the certification process. And then the last one I'd like to give is, you know, a small minority firm get a contract. I've seen owners and larger firms try to stuff that contract. So they'll move more subs under that contract, which creates two problems. It creates a benefit from them in that they get more minority spend under to their credit. They have more minority spend. But it hurts the small minority contractor, because now that contractor have more responsibility under them. They're not making more money, but they have more responsibility that they're not capable of managing. And that's a big problem. And that increases the risk for the minority and women-owned business. Mm-hmm. In a major way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And are these all things that are being remedied right now, or it's just...
We're working very hard on them via a number of organizations. I mentioned at the state level, the Indiana Civil Rights Commission. At a local level, the Indy Chamber and Central Indiana Corporate Partnership have come together and formed Business Equity for Indy, an organization chaired by Jeff Harrison, who is president of a Citizens Energy Group. He's chairing. I operate a task force that works under there. And through that organization, we are identifying and working to eliminate these kinds of barriers that we found and identified.
Right.
And we meet some of the task forces meet weekly, but we meet as a group certainly every 6 to 8 weeks. And there are smaller task force, what we call work groups, meeting weekly, several times a month.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have about 2 minutes left, and I just want to learn a little bit more about some of the other resources. We talked about sort of the financial resources for businesses, and I think... you mentioned some websites where people can go to get free information. Is there anything else that you think people should know about that are interested in starting a business under a minority business?
I think that you should familiarize yourself with the Secretary of State's website, which is in.gov/SOS, and go to the business services, and they have videos and written descriptions. And I think Rupal talked about it earlier, you know, how to set up an LLC. Mm-hmm. And you can do it in minutes. You can choose a company name, tell if it's been taken, set up your LLC. You can do all that at that website. And then you can go to irs.gov and get a tax ID number online. There's a very short online process to do that as well. And 30, 40 minutes later, you set up your LLC. And you're ready to go in that from that standpoint. Then you go to the state and the city's websites to see how to get certified. And the state have certification workshops several times a year on how to get certified as a minority or women-owned business.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for all of that information. We really appreciate it. John Thompson. John is the president of the Board of Indiana Chamber, a board member for the Indiana Economic Development Corporation, and the CEO of Thompson Distribution Company. We're going to head back and speak with Rupal Thanawala again, and we're going to ask her a little bit more about some event that's coming up. Rupal, thank you for joining us again. Next week is Minority Business Week, and you're part of a team leading the InnoPower Minority Business Week conference. Can you tell us a bit about the conference?
Sure. So this exactly builds upon what actually, you know, we spoke for last 1 hour, you know. We have identified this as a problem that in the state of Indiana, number one, there is a lack of knowledge sharing, that a lot of things that JT just spoke about. People don't know about what are the educational opportunities are there. What are the gaps in the, you know, if you want to start your business and what are the resources available? And what kind of the opportunities you have as an entrepreneurship. So we created this conference 3 years back. It's called InnoPower. It is in collaboration with Indianapolis Recorder and InnoPower. And I'm so excited that I could chair this event for all this time. We want to have this conversation in four distinct days focused on very first day's competitiveness. And, you know, John Thompson will be speaking at that day about similar resources, but a little bit going in detail about it. But how do you build your competitiveness if you want to start your own business? Well, we're also going to focus a little bit about leadership development, and we are going to talk to some of the executives who have been through the journey. Another day is about the education. Education is a key enabler for prospects that, you know, we want to create for our minority community. So what other educational opportunities are available, whether it's, and we're going to talk from K-12 all the way to getting the internship and also getting some certifications that, you know, you had some questions about. You absolutely want to have a bachelor's degree, go to the universities, but there are so many things available, which is not, you don't need a four-year degree. So what are those certificate courses? Mm-hmm. Then we are going to talk about entrepreneurship opportunities. What are the opportunities available? What are the funding challenges people have? How to start your own business? And last but not the least, we also want to talk about workforce development. You know, if you're a corporation, how do you build your minority pipeline to all the way to, like, getting them from classroom to the boardroom? So www.innopowerindy.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Rupal Thanawala is the InnoPower Minority Business Week Conference Chair. Our producers are Drew Dodlin and Micah Yason. Scott Cameron is our managing editor. Adam Gross is our engineer and composed our theme song. If you'd like a podcast of this show or any past show, you can find it anywhere you get your podcasts. Join us tomorrow for a show on the workplace, adapting to working from home and the impact of unemployment benefits on employers finding talent. I'm Miriam Soap. Thanks for listening. This is All In.